course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I'm one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not doing too shabby. Just, rocking and rolling. Got a Barney came to life the other day. That was fun.
Yeah, a little scary. Barney did have to come alive. Barney was scary as it was.
True.
All right. Well, we are reviewing the movie Buddy this episode. But before we get to there, Ike, did you watch anything else?
Oh boy, not a whole lot. I've been sucked into the office, and I'm catching up on some other things. But really, just the normal stuff I've been watching. Otherwise, so unfortunately, not a whole lot on the watch list this week.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I watched anything else that I can remember. Still watching through the Star Trek series, plural. And Walking Dead. So I'm still watching Walking Dead, but I think that's about it. I don't think I seemed like I started to watch a movie, but then I got sidetracked and I can't remember what movie it was. But anyway, I think it was something I just was as I was perusing either Screambox or Shudder. I don't know, something I come across. I thought, oh, I'll watch this real quick, and then something happened. I got sidetracked. I never did watch it. So there you go. That's we are the most boring non-review watchers in the world. We're gonna have to pick up the pace here in spooky season.
That's
So,
true.
all right. Well, for now, let's take a break. And when we come back, we promise the pace will be picked up because we have a lot of news, birthdays, and anniversaries to talk about. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to Listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right. So we're going to start off with some bad news. Both of these are technically bad news, but then we'll hopefully see what happens from here. First things to report here is that Tim Curry passed away on August 25th at the age of 80. Known for so many roles, but horror-related, of course. He was Pennywise in the original It miniseries. He was also in Rocky Horror Picture Show's Stream and countless other legendary movies. One of my all-time favorite movies of his is the movie Clue. So good. So silly. And all the different endings are so ridiculous, but love that movie. Definitely a fan favorite of mine. And obviously, Tim Curry was really impactful for a lot of reasons. And definitely one of those ones that I was like, it was in quick succession from Dolly Parton. And then we also lost Peter Cullen, who voiced Optimus Prime. And then, of course, we lost Tim Curry. So it was definitely a series of hard knocks there for a while, you know, with everybody who we've lost so far this year.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say much more than Tim Curry and what's been saying out there. Ever, you know, he was legendary. He was great. He's got so many iconic movies and iconic roles. It's you can't even. And then, he wasn't afraid to you know just do something that's you know fun and goofy. I mean, he did Muppet stuff and other things. He wasn't afraid to just have fun too. But yeah, obviously I love him as Pennywise. And obviously loved him in Rocky Horror Picture Show. And we talked about Stream. We liked Stream, and it was good to see him in it. And I do believe he's going to be in the sequel. I think he's already filmed his parts for the sequel, is my understanding. So, yeah, it's just, here we are once again, having to unfortunately talk about this, and it sucks. It's unfortunately kind of part of the gig when you do something like this, right? You have to report it, but then it's also, it's deserving, right? You want to pay your respects. Yeah, but yeah, I don't know. I'm tired of talking about unbelievable. I'm tired of talking about death and this real death. And
Right.
so it's like you talk about these things and the impact, and then you have to talk about, movies with fake death, and you almost feel like, oh, this is so silly. Why am I talking about this now and after you? But it is what it is. So.
Yes, it is. It is what it is. But
We were talking about Tim Curry passing, and here in a little bit, we're going to talk about a magical unicorn being that kills people. But that's okay because Tim Curry, I would suggest, would have loved a movie like Buddy. He would
Oh,
probably,
absolutely.
because he's not afraid to have fun, and that's what you want. So.
Very true. And then just to kind of keep the bad news train rolling a little bit here, we have Victor Miller, passed away on August 31st, at the age of 86 years old. Miller wrote the original Friday the 13th film, so another pretty big hit for the horror community on that end. The original Friday the 13th obviously is iconic in many ways, and serves as a launching, a platform for the, what would become one of the greatest and most prolific horror villains of all time, Jason Voorhees. So,
Well, I mean, the Jason we think of was not his creation. He is technically the person who created Pamela Voorhees and Jason Voorhees. I mean, he did other things too, but a lot of TV stuff. But and of course, I'm sure he. I would venture to guess he was involved in all the right stuff over the years. There was a statement issued that, said, hey, this is, people have asked, this doesn't affect any in-work projects. All the right stuff has been settled. It's done. It's so this doesn't, affect anything. And they're not trying to be trite or, whatever, but I'm sure a lot of people wondered with all the issues, whether, his passing, does that change any agreements or anything? But apparently that's all finalized. So, but it's, I mean, it sucks with, especially like, Victor Miller, that's not a name everybody knows, but look how impactful and important what he did was. So it sucks.
Does, but we shall remember him, and we'll continue on. Just keep on keeping on. But all right, we are going to jump now into upcoming birthdays. We actually have a lot of birthdays and a lot of
Yeah,
anniversaries, so let's try and roll
we're at the
through
bus through these, not try to ramble too much here because
these.
it's a
Yeah,
lot.
it is. But all right. Start us off September 5th, 1951. Michael Keaton, known for, of course, his role in Beetlejuice. He was also Batman. He was also in Spider-Man. He's been in everything. Michael Keaton's great. We love Michael Keaton here.
I do. He's my Batman. So yeah, obviously the Beetlejuice movies are fun. I like all this stuff. He's just so fun.
Absolutely. Great actor. All right. Jumping now to September 5th of 1973, we have Rose McGowan, known for her role in the original Scream. She was Tatum, and she was also in Phantoms. I say it's been a long time since I've seen Phantoms. That's the Ben Affleck was killer in Phantoms or whatever.
It was the bomb in Phantoms, yo. Yeah. And she's pretty good too. Was
She is.
I think she was especially good in Scream.
Absolutely, absolutely. We actually, Dave and I, when we went to Pentacon, she was supposed to be there for the panel, I believe, or no. Was that when we went? No, that was when maybe I went. Okay, so she was supposed to be there for a panel, with Matthew Lillard and Jamie Kennedy, but she was sick, so she was not able to come, unfortunately. But in any case, hope she's doing good now. But we're gonna jump right along to September 6th, 1879. We have Max Schreck, the original Nosferatu. Honestly, the original Nosferatu, it's been a long time since I've watched it, at least a couple years. It's always weird thinking about this because, like, the original Nosferatu had like a lot of like weird shit happening on the set, and like there's like rumors of like occult worship and stuff that was happening like behind the scenes and stuff. So it's kind of an interesting thing to watch. There's a whole documentary about it, I guess. But yeah, this was the original vampire creature, one of the originals to appear on screen, and it's his Nosferatu.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, an iconic role. We got a lot of attention here lately because lots of some did some remakes and stuff. But yeah, well, when most people see a picture or whatever it might be of Nosferatu, it's Max Schreck. So typically,
True.
so.
Absolutely. But all right, we're going to keep rolling here. We're going to go down to September 6th of 1949. We have Tommy Lee Wallace, the writer and director of Halloween 3. Obviously, Halloween 3's Season of the Witch is great. I even actually have a book over here about Halloween 3 by Tommy Lee Wallace, which is great. And but no, Tommy Lee Wallace did a great job with the third movie. I genuinely think that, with the proper perspective, people would look upon this movie differently had the series gone a different way. I think that obviously they were going to keep it the anthology series where it was going to be different characters, different things each episode of each movie. But they obviously Michael Myers was so popular, and they could not they couldn't really step away from that, right? They had kind of sunk their teeth too deep into that, so they're like, okay, let's just keep rolling with the Michael. And that's not a bad thing. I love Halloween, but man, I would have really loved to have seen the anthology version of Halloween.
Yeah, me too. And yeah, again, it's obviously a movie that's much better received now with proper context and everything. At the time,
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of it had, a lot of people, there's not as much exposure, right? You didn't have the internet and trailers on your phone and stuff. And a lot of people just saw, oh, there was a new Halloween movie. I want to go see that. And then they got there and realized, oh, this is not Michael Myers. So that's probably where a lot of the backlash came from at the time. And you hear a lot of people say, oh, well, had it been released with a different movie or just be called Season of the Witch or something like that, it probably would have done a lot better. But I don't know. That's who knows about that. That's hearsay. But I don't know. I love the movie. I think it's fun. So.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's an extremely fun movie, but like you said, coulda, shoulda, woulda, but hindsight is 2020.
That's right.
But we're gonna move now to September 7th of 1940. We have Dario Argento. Often, he is essentially considered the one of the grandfathers of Giallo, which is a genre of horror that I have only minorly dabbled in. I've watched a handful of movies from this genre, and listen, for lack of a better phrase, giallo is just sort of an odd genre, and that's not in any way supposed to be a bad thing. It's just that, sometimes you watch these movies and it's just like, what the fuck is happening? And he's got some good ones. I mean, Dario Argento's got some classics. What was the one? Deep Red's a really good one that I have seen.
Yeah.
I've heard Tenebrae is a really good one.
Yeah,
I've
and
never
the Inferno.
Inferno, yep. I've never seen that one, but I heard that one's good too, So obviously, not in any way, shape, or form anything bad against Giallo or what he's doing. It's just Giallo's a very very much an acquired taste genre.
Yeah, and it's not really my thing. So I don't know. I don't really watch a lot of it. So maybe that, maybe I don't have enough to really formulate a good opinion, but it's just not my thing. But I can appreciate it, right? Again, a lot of people love it, and that's fine. I'm glad it's there. And again, I don't have a wide viewing. So I mean, Dario is considered the man, the best. I don't have a lot of viewing perspective to know the difference. But again, I appreciate the historical importance of him in his movies.
Yeah, absolutely. There is one that apparently it's like his most popular movie. It's called like The Bird with the Crystal Plumage. It's from like 1970. Apparently, it's really good. A lot of people really like rave that this is like one of the like giallo movies. Like this, like if you were to say like what is giallo, people are like watch Bird with the Crystal Plumage. But it's also I in my research because we talked about giallo not too long ago, and I kind of went down a rabbit hole, and I watched Alice, Sweet Alice, which is like as close to American giallo as we get, which is really good, by the way. So Alice, Sweet Alice is a fantastic film. But then like I started watching some other movies, like I think it's like Bay of Blood, which is the inspiration for Friday the 13th, which is a giallo film. But like there's sort of like this idea within that community, as I understand it, that there are certain movies you have to watch first, because if you go too deep, it's not going to make any sense. So you kind of have to get some of the tentative like tropes out of the way first before you dive into something like Bird with a Crystal Plumage. It's kind of like with slasher, like, I would never suggest somebody jump straight to like Terrifier. I would say like start with Halloween 19, like the 70 Halloween, you know what I mean? It's a little tamer, it's still got the idea. But like if you throw someone in the deep end, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, okay, well they're just gonna drown. So but apparently Bird with the Crystal Plumage is like the movie to watch in the Giallo universe, but it's not the first movie you want to watch.
Yeah, really.
But anywho, sorry, we're talking a lot about Giallo. I find it very fascinating to fight, despite the fact that I've watched very little of Giallo. But in any case, I say I keep moving on here. September 7th, 1954, we have Doug Bradley, Pinhead in the original Hellraiser series. Doug Bradley's great. He does a good Pinhead. I know they haven't really brought him back to do anything quite yet. I don't know. I'd hope that maybe with I heard we're supposed to get a new Hellraiser movie. I'm hoping that they either bring him back or kind of involve him in some way. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, it'd be nice. And I mean, again, what an iconic character. And I mean, even if you don't really know the Hellraiser movies, whatever that much, or I've watched very many of them, I mean, people still know what Pinhead is or Pooh Pinhead is, and they've seen them. And it's always surreal to me to think about playing or being a character like that that everybody knows. It would have to be so wild. But yeah, Pinhead's right over is one of the most recognizable horror characters of all time. And Mr. Bradley is him. He is Pinhead. Pinhead is him.
Very true. Very true. He is Pinhead. Who
Right.
you call him Pinhead?
Yeah, other contexts would be something. There's the Ramones song about Pinheads too, and that's not the same thing.
Right.
That was a I don't know, I guess a thing about being whatever. A
Was
knucklehead,
that
a
it was
chucklehead, or whatever you want to call it,
well, it's actually weirdly enough, speaking
a
of the origin, the etymology of Pinhead actually dates to old Carney terms, because there were people who were considered quote unquote pinheads, typically people with developmental disabilities, because that's just how they did things.
Well, the Ramones pulled a lot from Carnies. They had a character with a mask, the Pinhead that had, one of the character types based, a lot of it was based on the movie Freaks, the old movie Freaks, that the Ramones love that movie. But with the kind of the cone head type head, and there's lots of that imagery in the Ramones stuff. So with that character and some Pinhead skulls and some pictures and stuff like that. Anyway, that's all a different Pinhead.
Yeah, very, very much so.
Still pretty cool, and everybody should listen to the Ramones, but not the same.
Not the same. But all right. Moving on from Doug Bradley, we have, let's see, September 8th, 1971, David Arquette. We had three D's in a row there. Dario, Doug, and David. But yeah, September 8th, 1971, David Arquette, of course, known for his role as Dewey in the Scream series. He was also in the movie Eight-Legged Freaks, which was a good one. He's obviously been a lot. He's a professional wrestler. I mean, really, David Arquette has done essentially everything in the industry. So, very, very, very talented and articulated, that's for sure.
What a guy. Again, just does what he wants. I mean, when he does professional wrestling, he's done some weird stuff, some deathmatch type stuff. And they would think, right? David Arquette, you can sit there and say, yeah, he's a former WCW world champion. Pretty weird. But
Oh, yeah, from the movie Ready to Rumble. It was a promotion for that, wasn't
Yeah, I think so. But probably not the best move at the time. And I think Arquette didn't thought so too. There's always been talk. He voiced apprehension about it, but it is what it is. Whatever. We won't
true
talk
story.
with it. I could go off on tangents about that stuff, but it wasn't Arquette's fault.
No, that's definitely one of those things. That was who was in charge at the time? Was it Bischoff or was it
It's
Tony Khan?
Bischoff. It's Bischoff.
Okay.
No, Tony Khan's at EW.
I gotcha.
Nuts. It was Bischoff, and there's a lot of things going on.
True.
It was on the tail end of WCW. There was too many people in Bischoff's ears and just weird stuff and different things, and people got caught in the middle. It was a weird time. I mean, there are literally books written about this stuff, and there's a reason they went out of business.
True story. But all right. We'll move on from that before we get down that rabbit hole.
That's right.
But our last
That's a
birthday,
deep rabbit hole.
it is a very deep rabbit hole. Wrestling's got a lot of those. But
I got a whole nother podcast on that stuff.
you do. Love that. But all right. September 9th, 1954, we have Jeffrey Combs, of course, known for his role in Reanimator. He's also done plenty of other things. He's a very, very well known in doing like cameos and appearances
He's
and stuff like that.
done so much. It's remarkable. I'm all the time watching something and seeing him in it, where I was like, and something I didn't realize. And there, I've seen him in a lot and heard about him. I mean, literally, I think he had a pretty prominent role in Star Trek Deep Space Nine for a season. And but I believe he has popped up in damn near every modern Star Trek series as an alien or a character at some point. He's and then and it's so funny. But he's just in so much. He's been in all kinds of movies. He pops up in shows and what was there was something I can't remember what it was though. Something wasn't there something fairly recently that a pretty something a pretty prominent thing that he had a piece
Yeah.
a bit in. Don't remember what it was. I mean, like, it's kind of a big deal that he was. I don't know, but
He had a part in, I guess, like like a Dune movie, maybe? Or was it a
maybe.
Dune video game?
I don't know. Did I read? And again, I could be off on this because maybe I'm confusing it. Did I read that he is going to be in one of the season three Creep Tapes episodes?
Maybe that's possible. I feel like I remember reading that too.
Ooh, I know this is really good reporting, but there was him and someone else that were pretty cool that they were doing episodes, and I can't remember now. I know that's so. Whatever, such a letdown, and I could be wrong. Maybe it wasn't him, but so except I just as you're scrolling through, I passed and didn't give it enough thought, I guess.
Happens. Well, sometimes, we also you read stuff online and it's like you don't really want to know. Like, I mean, it's
Yeah.
like either you're like, okay, is this true or is this not true? Are they lying? There's also a lot of that stuff too because it's the internet. You never really know.
But it is a fact. Jeffrey Combs has been in so much stuff, continues to be in so much stuff. I have seen him. Oh, I don't even know what I've seen him pop up in. He's
No,
like
absolutely.
all the time. And he's very talented.
He's one of those people that I feel like he had like his well he had a start back in the day, but I feel like he kind of does like what a lot of these other horror icons do is they kind of want to stick around in the horror scene, so like let's just do cameos, let's do little these smaller parts, try and get other people onto the scene and whatnot, and very very successful in doing that.
Yeah, I was trying to see.
But all right. I'm
Gosh,
trying to see if you could find if he was the one.
yeah, but I don't know what I'm thinking. I don't know, but yeah, whatever. Yeah, he's doing lots of voice stuff too.
It'll probably come to us later. It'll be one of those things where you're like, oh, yeah. And I say he does a lot of voice acting too.
Obviously, in
But
stream,
it'll probably come to
we.
you later and you'll be like, oh, that's what it was.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke about stream earlier.
Yeah.
He was in that, so obviously. But okay, yeah, I don't know. Lots of stuff. So enough about Mr. Combs. Happy birthday, Mr. Combs.
No, that's right. But all right, that's it for our birthdays. Going to jump to anniversaries here. We have September 6th, 2019. We have It Chapter Two. This the whole revitalization of the It franchise is very very important because you had the two movies, of course, followed by one season of the Welcome to Derry show, and then we also have a second season in the works and more planned on that front. So
Very exciting.
but no, oh absolutely, and it's such a great series too, but this movie and the first movie are such a good 1-2 punch.
Yeah, we spoke about it, mentioned it many times. It's like movies that you just almost have to watch together. It's like you can't separate them because it's almost like they took one really great movie and it split it into two because of time. Although these movies are still pretty long, but and it's this is two of them, right? It's like you, man. I don't know how you could watch one and not watch the other fairly short soon after. It's just you got to get that full story.
Absolutely. Definitely, like I said, it's a definitely 1-2 punch. They're both long. I think they're both at least 2.5 hours long. So that's like a 5-hour sit down.
I rewatch them usually around this time of year, right? With the Halloween and stuff. It's those two are usually two movies I watch at some point. So I'm sure I will.
Absolutely. But all right. Good stuff with it. We're gonna jump now to September 6th of 2024. We have Beetlejuice,
Don't say it
Beetlejuice.
again.
Don't say it again. Great movie. We were just talking about Michael Keaton. Great sequel, and obviously the original movie is great too. But this was a decent follow up to that. So it's a good turn.
I think they captured the feel and spirit of the original, very well. I feel, I enjoyed it, right? They're goofy, fun movies. They're supposed to be, but I think it very much is in the same flavor as the original, and very well done. And again, great cast.
Oh, absolutely. Very good cast. But very good. We're going to jump now to September 7th of 2018. We have The Nun. This is the earliest entry into the Conjuring series. Chronologically speaking, in release order, not so much. But chronologically speaking, this takes place post-World War II, like in the 50s, I think. And it introduces the most one of the most iconic characters in the entire series, The Nun. Great. I think this is a really good movie. I think
That's it.
some there is some people like that don't. They have like this is one of those movies that's like either you love it or you hate it. It's not like the first two Conjuring movies where it's like they're generally considered like really good, like horror movies. This is one of those ones that some people were like, too much of suspended belief had to happen in order for me to enjoy it. So, which I understand to a degree, but it's a good movie. I love it.
I don't see I don't mind some of that. I like most of my favorite movies are very goofy and you can't have any belief in it. But I like it. I think it's one of the funnest watches in the universe and in the Conjuring universe. I think it's fun. Right? Yeah, it is. It's different. It's got a different little bit of a feel than the first two, but again, if they had made something that felt just exactly the same and switched, people would have probably complained about that too. Like, oh, now you're just trying to make the rip it off the Conjuring to make, I mean, I don't know, some people can't be, whatever. It's a fun movie.
That's what I was gonna say. It's a fun movie. I feel like too many people take it too seriously, but oh well. And
Which I can't, well, I can't say anything. I take everything, a lot of stuff too seriously too, but I guess my difference is if I don't like something or dislike, we talk about it on the podcast sometimes, but it's like, I'm not taking every turn I go to go out there and troll it on the online, and every time someone posts about The Nun, respond, oh, that's this movie stuff. I don't get that energy, man. I don't get it. Especially
like
if you're trying.
I like it, but I'm not that crazy.
I mean, especially from. I mean, I have plenty of stuff I hate, but it's not like I don't care to go out there and post that all the time, right? Or respond to someone who loves it. It put negative energy on something that's positive for them. That's what a waste of time.
True story.
I try to keep things positive, man. Just post good stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong. I will complain about things that are worthy of complaining about, not other people's opinions. Let's put it that way. Because everybody's entitled to their opinion. There is no, I just, again, I'm going off on a little bit of rabbit tangent here. I know, but these are movies. All this is forms of art. Art's subjective. I'm sorry, what people, there's not concrete ways that are definitive where you can label a movie as good or bad. I mean, you just can't. There's no guidelines to that. I mean, what are you going to say? I mean, I guess on technical sides, you can say certain stuff, right? But as far as the movie and the content, there's nothing that you can distinctly label a movie good or bad because there's no parameters for that. It's It's an opinion. It's a taste. So if somebody loves something that you hate, they're just as entitled. So why should you be allowed to hate or bully or troll or whatever the word is that people are using now? Someone who loves something you hate, but they're just as entitled to that opinion as you are to yours. I don't,
Very
it's
true.
just, it's a weird vibe to me. I don't understand it. I mean, I scroll through and if I see someone loves a movie that I hate, I'm just like, ah, I don't like that movie, but it's cool, right? They found something they love. That's fun. That's good. You know, I don't, why did I don't give a shit. What's it? How does that affect me?
No,
It's
absolutely.
so weird.
And
It's such, I don't understand taking the time. It's just does not compute for me. It's such a weird vibe. It's like trying to be a shittier person. It just, you're making a concerted effort to take your time to just piss on someone's joy. That's all you're doing, pretty much. Can you be a bigger dick than that? I don't, how? I mean, because there's no end game. There's no purpose. You don't gain anything from that. It's so weird. But all right, there we go. I knew it was going to happen. I knew something would cause me to get on a soapbox. I didn't know it would be the nun, but especially with the other stuff we had here. I mean, there were so many other choices of things that would have. But alas, here we are.
happens. You never know when it will happen. It's one of those, like,
No, you
just
never know what,
swings out of nowhere sometimes.
never know when I'm going to get triggered. It's
True.
just, but it's it, whatever. Don't be
But
dicks.
that's
Come on. That's
okay.
my bottom line to everybody. Just don't be dicks. If you feel like you're unnecessarily going to throw any hate or whatever at a person, just take a moment and stop, and just don't.
Just don't.
You'll feel better in the end if you just don't. And if
Absolutely.
you don't feel better, if you need that to for some personal justification, you seek counseling. There's you probably got some larger issues that you need to maybe discuss and work through. I'm not even saying that tongue in cheek. I'm just, if you take joy in other people's pain, you might need to work through some things so you can be a better, you know, feel better.
No, absolutely. But in any case, we'll keep on rolling here. But that does it for the nun. We'll keep rocking here.
Would have thought the
But
longest movie we would have talked about would be The Nun? No, well, we're not done yet, so we'll see what we'll see here. There's still three more contenders.
it's true. But all right, we have September 8th, 1960. We have Psycho. We were talking about, back in the day. Well, we were just talking about how, like, different movies are kind of like they present different tropes, and one of those things where it's like, if somebody's getting into the slasher genre, I'm not sure that I would immediately throw them into, like, the Psycho movie. But it's a good one. It's a great movie, and definitely one of those ones where it's like, once you are deep enough into it, definitely this is one you need to watch. But I love Psycho. It's the original slasher film.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, it's a great movie.
Yeah. I mean, everybody knows our opinions. We don't believe in gatekeeping. We don't believe in whatever about telling people what they should watch or shouldn't watch or these guidelines where you're not a horror fan if you know this, right? I don't believe in any of that shit. All I got to say about Psycho is, right? If you're kind of a semi-casual fan or a very, I don't put it, a very directed horror fan, right? There's a certain, just certain things you like about it, unless this is really your thing, Psycho's probably not for you, right? So don't worry about it. But if you're really, again, I don't want to quantify it, but if you're really just a broader horror fan and you like lots of different things, or if you're a horror fan who is part of your fandom, enjoys and appreciates the history of horror and how we got from way back, campfire stories and so on, to what we have now, then I say Psycho is an important watch in that, right? It's, even if it's not your thing, you don't enjoy it. If you appreciate that stuff, want to see that lineage, want to see those steps taken, then Psycho's got to, you got to watch it for that reason. Because whether you like it or don't like it, right? Like Kayla, I think you said Kayla didn't really care for Psycho, right?
Yeah, so we've talked about it before, but she's She's kind of one of those people that's like, yeah, it's good for the history, but she's like, I would never go out of my way to watch this movie.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Even, I can comprehend that certain people, right, don't they like certain things, they're not gonna like this. But I don't think anybody can argue the historical significance of Psycho within horror, within film in general, honestly. But again, yes, soapbox done. I'm not taking it to the Nun level, but yeah, Psycho is a I think it's a great film. I love it. And it's I don't know. I watch movies like that, and I'm always aghast at the history involved in it, right? Thinking, what it would like to try to do that, to create that at that time, because you're really, I know it seems weird, but I mean, they're pushing boundaries. And doing something that's not been, at least not been commonly done. And man, that's something, right? It's a marvel, right? When people do that, right? When people create a new spark of something, or push the boundaries of something, or change something. Yeah, it's remarkable. It's so cool. I get spiraling thinking about that stuff, how the scope of it, how it's, I know some people say it's just a little movie, but no, I mean, it's not. It's in the context of things, and there's lots of movies like this in every genre that, it's not about the movie itself. It's not about the quality necessarily even of the movie per se, but it's about the context of that time and what they did and what they accomplished and created within that time, at that time, right? And we've said it before, Psycho for 1960, Psycho would have been a really scary ass movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So
Especially
you
for
have,
black and white films.
yeah, you got to have context with it, right? Is Psycho a scary movie in 2026? Probably not the most. Maybe a little, but not that much, right? There's tons that push the boundaries. But think about it, 60 years ago. We're talking 65 years, 66 years ago. Fuck, that's a long, that's a, that's almost, that's a day, that's pretty much a lifetime. And you got to think about it in context. Everything in the world, you got to think context with about it, So, sorry. Go ahead.
That happens, but no, yeah, it's Psycho. It's a great film. Like I said, we've kind of rolled it all over, but wrap it all up. Great movie, historical significance.
And I will say though, just for fun purposes, there are some fucking fun ass Psycho sequels.
There are a lot of
Yeah.
them are a lot of fun. The second one, honestly, is
I love
it's arguably almost better than the first movie in
it.
some
It's
senses.
I will yeah, I will wholeheartedly say it's funner to watch. It's more fun to watch. Right? It's a movie that's it's easier to just sit down and watch and just kind of have fun with, right? Because it's a little more modern. Philly. So yeah, but it's
True.
everybody talks about the original. Hey, Psycho's a pretty fun franchise overall.
No, absolutely. Honestly, it's one of those ones again, once you've watched them, the slasher movies, and you want to get into like the history of it,
Yeah,
you got to
I
watch
mean,
the first one.
and even that, right, had the series. What was it, Bates Motel? Which
Yep.
I didn't really watch any of it, but I always forget about that. That's out there. So yeah, there's lots more in this franchise beyond the original movie.
Absolutely. But all right, we're gonna rock and roll here. We have September 8th of 2017. We have It Chapter One.
Talking about a lot about it, aren't
Yeah, to say we won't spend too long on this one, but obviously this is the first film. This movie had the sort of the big job, right, to kind of follow up on what we had from previous It lore from the show, and this one really had to kind of start us on the right track, and it really did. It was a great movie. It Chapter One is phenomenal in all senses.
Yeah, I mean, well, again, we just talked about it with, But It Chapter Two, it's a great movie. They should be watched together. They're really just fantastic. Welcome to Derry, fantastic. But as good as they are, ready to take away from what the miniseries was. I view them as two very unique things, right? I mean, and they're just it's a wonderful movie. It's so good. It is really, I love the It miniseries, but the movies are kind of what films should do if they do a remake or something, right? You take a movie that is very good, has a lot of good material or whatever there, But you now have new capabilities of doing it and expanding it, cinematically, and adding to it. And you can go longer. You can do things. So, I think the It movies are a very good showcase of that. Of what if you're gonna do a quote unquote remake of what you should do, right? Don't just make a straight remake. There needs to be a reason of like, hey, this story deserves a new telling, a broader telling, a deeper telling. And I mean, it, people, I mean, the movies, the series, whatever, they're all pulling from the source material. That book, there's still a lot there that, to portray. So.
Absolutely. But all right. We won't spend too much time on it, but I do want to talk about the next one, which is exciting as well. We have September 9th of 2022. We have Barbarian. Barbarian really is one of those movies that was sort of a sleeper. It was a
Yeah.
Zach Cregger movie. Had a lot of really cool people in it, Justin Long, Bill Skarsgård. But Zach Cregger obviously go on to do Weapons, and he's doing the upcoming Resident Evil movie that is releasing not this week, but the following week or the week after.
Correct, correct. Yeah, I believe so.
I think it's like, I can't remember. I think it's like the 18th maybe, so it might be 3 weeks. But anyways,
Maybe.
but no, Zach Cregger's great. But I feel like Barbarian is, I mean, he's done obviously other movies, but I feel like Barbarian is really what got him into the realm of like doing these other movies, because like he did stuff before, but this is like his first really big movie,
Yeah.
which is obviously very important to get your foot in the door.
I think I think God, Barbarian Weapons, man, what a 1-2. Good Lord. And I literally, in my mind, I think those two are what you would call modern classics. I think 40, 50 years down the road, two chunky dudes doing a podcast or whatever there is at that point in time. Maybe we've passed down the Listen to the Screams name or whatever it might be, right? Other dudes, because people are going to always talk about horror movies, they're going to look at these movies the same way you and I are talking, look back on Psycho and things, right? These were key and monumental movies for that time period that helped shape something, right? They're fantastic movies. Barbarian was super good, and I didn't expect anything from it. I didn't. I was. I didn't know exactly what it was when we watched it. No in depth. I didn't know. I didn't know much. I didn't know much about Zach Cregger. I didn't know much. But I was like, okay, well, whatever. This is the horror movie we for this week. And I watched it. I was like, dude, whoa, what the hell? And yeah, again, I need to rewatch it, man. I don't know if I've rewatched it since then, or since around that time. But yeah, I mean, I'm just. Barbarian is great. Weapons is great. I'm not a huge Resident Evil person like you, fan like you are, but just because it's him, I'm looking forward to it, right? Because you got no reason to believe that it's not going to be a really great movie. Source material, it doesn't matter. Whatever. It's you could people take source material all over the place. Doesn't matter what it comes from, right? He can make a really great movie, and so I'm looking forward to it because of that, because of him. He's
No,
got to
absolutely.
that point literally with me with these two movies that he's a creator that if he's coming out with a movie, I'm looking forward to it just based on him alone. I don't really need to know much about the movie, honestly. It's like if it's a Zach Cregger, I'm like, oh, that'll probably be pretty good. I want to see it.
No,
So.
absolutely. He's definitely one of those ones where, like you said, if he makes a movie, I'm looking forward to it. So. But all right, I want to say that does it for all of our news, birthdays, anniversary. We have one upcoming,
Woo!
please. This is what we are reviewing next week. We have Parasomnia coming to Shudder on September 4th. It is described as, after her friend vanishes, Riley must confront the demon from her night terrors that may have crossed into reality while facing her own tragic past. Like I said, this will be what we're reviewing next week. And of course, it's a Shudder film. Gotta love Shudder. We love some Shudder originals around here, so it is always an exciting time. But I'm excited for this. I saw this on
Me
the
too.
September releases, so I was looking forward to that.
Yeah, Parasomnia is such a cool name.
It is.
Which I think there was another movie called Parasomnia when I was looking things up one time, but I don't know about that. But anyway, yeah, it's such a cool sounding name. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We'll see what it's all about next episode.
I'm into that. But all right, we're going to take a quick break, guys, because that will do it for our news, upcoming birthdays, anniversaries, and releases. We will, like I said, take a brief breather, and when we come back, we will have our official review of Buddy. Stick around.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/WrasslePod. That is linktr.ee/RASSLEPOD. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
All right, welcome back, boys and girls. We are reviewing the movie Buddy. Written by Casper Kelly and Jamie King, directed by Casper Kelly, starring Kristen Milioti, Delaney Quinn, Topher Grace, and many, many, many more. It was released in theaters on August 28th, earning $5,531,024 domestically on opening weekend. Good for number six. They're already calling this thing a hit for them. That it's doing what they want to do. It's overachieved. Again, here's the thing. This won't be a long review because there's just not. I don't mean this in a bad way either. Just not a lot to have to say, right, without giving away spoilers. I do not want to give away any spoilers. Anybody who has listened to this podcast for any amount of time knows that I have a soft spot in my heart for movies that are kind of goofy. Not goofy's not the right word, but kind of quirky, wacky. Yeah. I mean, my favorite movies from each franchise are kind of the quirky ones. I'm going to say this flat. I loved this movie so much, but I feel like this movie was made for me. I loved the concept of this movie. I loved the unveiling of what was happening here. Some of the shots where this is a little spoiler, but not giving away any of the content per se, but some of the shots of within the Buddy show when credits are rolling, and these kids are looking directly into the camera within their universe with these frightened looks was really creepy to me. I thought this movie was so much fun. I liked how, you know, when it ended up kind of diving into actual story telling, I liked it. I liked how they did it. They did the Bill, for lack of a better term, as the kind of the less is more, right? They didn't go into this super deep explanation of everything happening. They didn't tell you every single little nut and bolt reason why. And that was fine. You didn't need to. I loved all it, right? I loved, it felt like a true kid show that had kind of gone wild and these kids are trapped in it, right? That's not a spoiler. That's in the preview, all the descriptions. Yeah. And I loved that. I loved it. And when that realization hit, it was just well done. The kids were great because they did a great job of essentially all of them playing two characters, right? Playing the unknowing people, kids in this TV show, this Buddy show. But then when reality starts hitting in, they're essentially switched to a much more realistic what's going on. And it was great. And there were some very humorous scenes when it's like things started coming back to them. They started remembering real stuff and seeing some of the things they talked about when they thought was fun. And it's, I don't know. Again, maybe it was just me, written for me. I love this movie. Thought it was fun. This is a movie I'm going to rewatch quite a bit probably because it was so fun. I loved the way it ended because it was very open-ended, honestly. Right? You got closure in one hand, but then you're like, oh, it's weird. What's going on here? It kind of, I think, left the door. It feels to me like they might have an idea for a sequel, the way they left it. A very, because it felt like there was a very specific ideal for the way it ended, the way it did. I didn't stick around to see if there's any credit scenes. I don't know if there was any credit scenes that added anything else, but again, everybody knows I have quirky tastes and stuff. There's a reason we say Dave likes his horror with lots of cheese. I thought this was a blast. I thought it was so much fun. It flirted that line between at points being goofy, but then bringing it back to the goofy made it creepy within the context at some point, right? I mean, it's this wild dichotomy that everybody's felt, I think, at some point, where you see this character that looks like it's so colorful and lovable and it's a kid thing. And then here it is, expressing these horrible homicidal thoughts and different things. And it's a weird mix that just makes you uneasy. But it was so good. So good. There's so many things that spurned in this movie that I want to go deeper. I want to know more. Right? They went into the one realm or world or whatever you want to call it. And as they're walking through that building, you could see on the wall a picture. There was Buddy, but there was two other characters with him. Right? And they talked about how the show began as a different show beginning, which, by the way, super ass cameo there. A very friend of the show who I loved seeing in the movie. But right, so there's like so much of I want to know about the past of this and the development of this, and there's I feel like they can expand this universe and just have so much fun with it. All right, I've rambled again, but I love this movie. I thought it was so much fun, and it just really felt like the right movie for me right now. It's like, yeah, not super serious. It's just fun. It's got some creepy, scary parts, some parts that made you chuckle. This felt like just a great movie to transition going into September and, the official spooky season. This just felt like perfectly timed, right? You get to watch it and it gets you in that mood, for me at least. I thought this was fantastic. Loved it. Casper Kelly, I'm like becoming a fan just based on this one movie. So, okay, I'm done. What do you think about Buddy?
All right, like you said, we don't want to give too much away because it's one of those issues where there's a lot of very specific information within all of this. So it's like if you start saying a little bit, you give away a lot.
Yeah,
But
it's like you can't say specifically what you like it within the movie because it's all important to the story.
exactly.
So it's like you can't really give specifics.
Well, and the great thing about this movie is that it was very to the point, right? It was a 90-minute movie.
Yeah.
Had the perfect amount of information, the perfect amount of stuff to go on. But I think the big thing for this movie that is really making it do so well is I feel like a lot of folks are like looking at this and they're saying like, hey, this isn't the 90s, right? It's taking a lot away from like 90s cartoon shows like your Barneys, the Wiggles and all those other stuff. A lot of those shows has a lot of influence on this. And you can even go back to prior to that,
Oh,
there's a lot of shows like that from like the 70s and 80s and stuff.
every generation has these shows, right?
Right. But it's one of those great things where it's like you're watching this and it just has that attitude, that sort of feeling of that time. I think that the big thing with this movie that a lot of people are going to like is that it doesn't hold anything back, but at the same time, it still has that comedy element to it. I remember going into it, I recognized the voice of Buddy, and I was like, who the hell is that? It's Keegan-Michael Key,
Yeah.
which is hilarious. And then the guy who made this movie, too, he had a lot of other good stuff that he's done. Like, he was a part of VHS Halloween.
Oh,
He was
yeah.
also, he did that movie Mandy a few years ago with Nicolas Cage, which was really good. But anyways, honestly, I think this movie really capitalized on the idea of, it being a car, a kid show, but also, like I said, it held nothing back. I think that there was a scene, and again, this isn't a spoiler, but there's a scene later on, and Dave, you kind of mentioned this, there's like a little bit of a mural that depicts
Yeah.
some other characters. So I think that this has the possibility of expanding into a larger universe, right? I could see there being a Buddy 2 or a, an expansion of this into the Buddy universe, I guess you could say. But there's some other characters that I think could be there. And like you said, I didn't stick around either to see if there's an end credit scene. Undoubtedly, there probably is. There almost always is nowadays.
Yeah.
It's the Marvel effect, but no, I really enjoyed it. I think that it really it hit all the right spots, and I don't know. I think that really we just have to. I think the movie did well financially, so I feel pretty confident that we'll get something else out of this. I just have a feeling like that. You know, Casper Kelly, the guy who made the movie, I feel like he did a good job, and I feel like everyone who's in the movie did a good job. So I just have that feeling that like we'll see another Buddy before too long.
Yeah, and it's and me, the collector in me too, watched this thing and thought this you could merchandise this
Oh,
movie
merchandise
so
and marketing out the wazoo.
much. I'm like, I want a Buddy figure, and it's like all this stuff, right? You could have different versions of Buddy based on different points in the movie. I'm so watching this thing. I mean, again, it's not really a spoiler, right? It's the Barney concept, literally in the movie. That at times Buddy's a stuffed animal, just like Barney was, right? And this, the kid's imagination supposedly brings Buddy to life. And I mean, I'm like, boom, right there it is. I
Yep.
mean, you just put out a Buddy plush like that. Everybody who don't want a Buddy plush out of the movie? I do. I mean, like, again, there's a cameo in it with a certain actor that I want to say more about, but I can't. But anyway, fun movie, great movie. I think also, like I said, the timing was just perfect. Right, you just turned September, pumpkin stuff's out there, everybody's geared up because everybody like stores and social media and everything, right? Officially says, oh, it's September 1st, it's now Spooktober, and right, spirits are opening and everybody's shifting gears, ready for the fall and ready for the Halloween and the haunts and all this stuff that comes with it. And I think this was just perfect timing for a movie
Oh, yeah.
because again, everybody, there are lots of horror movies come out this time, but this is one of those movies that to me also just, it matches what I believe people's joy to be at this time of year right now, right? It's like everybody's like, yes, it's here. We're in Spooktober. Let's do this. And Buddy it just fits that joy, right? It's like, it's a fun little horror movie. That's to me, to me, the humor didn't feel horrible or fake or cheesy. Maybe it's because some of it was being delivered by kids, right? And it just fit that context. But it's enough to me. I chuckled, right? But it's none
Yeah.
of it felt out of place, right? But I love this movie. It's so fun. Let's rate it again. But I can't, I gotta be, I had to be fair, right? I can't say this movie is genre chasing per se. Now, it
No.
definitely is impacting where we're at today, right? Doing something a little different for now. But it's not like it's creating any rules. But by our typical how we rate this thing, I've got to me, it's just a clear cut, bam, 3.5 out of 5. Definitely higher for 3 to me, because it's just so much fun to watch. But yet there's not enough impactful, groundbreaking. Oh my God, this movie stands out so much to make it a 4. So it's strongly a 5. If you take that 3.5 and it's going to lean a little more towards the 4 than the 3 to me though. So if you want to, I don't know what that means to anybody, but this is just me. This is your prototypical 3.5 screen movie for me. And that's a good thing, right? A 3.5 to me is a good thing. So Ike, what are you rating it?
No, I definitely agree. I feel like if you look at the grand scope of things, it's a 3.5. I don't think that it quite lives up to what a 4 means, right? We think back to last week we reviewed Insidious. That one kind of leaned more towards that direction too. And I was just like, there are other movies that we've rated 4 recently that it's just, I don't know, you kind of have to put it into the grander scope of things. Not that did not do well, not that it wasn't good. It was just that I feel like they can go further, and I feel like that could potentially tip it towards a 4. But like you said, it's not genre breaking, right? There are movies like this or in this realm, right? Not exactly like this, but it within the realm of, things coming out of the TV and coming to life, or things getting sucked into TV, all of
I
that stuff.
mean, let's be fair. In context, inanimate objects coming to life. I mean, Puppet Master was doing this thing, whatever, 40 plus years ago. I mean, there's always been, I mean, dolls and things, toys becoming animate. Dude, right? This is, yeah, it's not. I'm not doing saying this to knock, because we've always said, right? You don't have to rewrite the rules, right? Just if you got an ideal, just stay within your lane, stick to your gut, and make it the best idea you can, and it'll be all right. Right? You don't have to overachieve. And this movie could have done that. They could have got so convoluted with trying to explain what's what and why Buddy is this, where, like a lot of people would have, a lot of movies would have. And then you just have so much dense content not needed that you ruin the fun of the movie. And I like that they didn't do that because I, you know what? Why is Buddy like he is? Why is this thing? I don't give a shit. I don't need more details on what was in the movie. I'm good and I'm comfortable. And if you want to broaden your scope, yeah, you do that in the future. You can make another movie or you can do a comic or you can write a book or if you want to expand a little bit, hey, do that in the future. Lay a good foundation.
No, absolutely.
I'm very happy that they just made a nice, fun movie though. And
Me
I
too.
can't wait to have it at home to be able to watch it again. So,
Yeah, get some special features on
that's
it.
right. I want to see some Buddy outtakes. Oh my Lord. Cause it's gotta be, oh, it's gotta be such a hard time acting it within those suits. So, all right there. Yeah. The consensus 3.5. What a fun movie, buddy. Go see it now. It's did, done pretty well so far. In the
Yeah.
theaters, let's give it a bump up, man. Let's see if we can't push this thing a little higher. And really, we need some of the, we need more of the underappreciated, underexpected movies to get that horror push, that obsession push, right? I'm not saying this is obsession, but I'm saying
No.
let's give it the support. So, and speaking of support, as always, support Screenbox and Shudder. We love those services. So everybody, make sure you subscribe to those. And join us in next week. We will be discussing the movie on Shudder, Parasomnia. So lost my train of thought there. Make sure you subscribe to Shudder. Watch the movie before we review it next episode. And check out all the other great stuff that are on those. Of course, you can hit every streaming service now. This is the time of year with every streaming service has got so many movies. But Shudder and Screambox are really the gold standards for original horror content coming. So, all right. Thank you to our wives for all your support. And then all you listeners and followers for always being there for us and listening. We do appreciate that. Make sure you subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much any platform. Just search for Listen to Their Screams. And also make sure you subscribe to us on whatever your preferred podcast platform is. Before we close out the Buddy episode, Ike, anything you want to add?
Oh, Lordy. No, I think that's just about it. I'm excited for Parasomnia. I think it'll be good. I love a good screaming horror movie.
Right.
And then shortly after that, we'll hopefully get Resident Evil in the books. That'll be a good one too. So,
That's right.
for now, I'm looking forward to Parasomnia.
Yeah, and we're not too far off from Creep Tape season three.
True.
So we'll be doing that again like we did. We'll be joining opening the show with a little mini review of each of those episodes when they drop. Because we are such big fans that we don't want to wait for the whole series to drop. We want to make sure we're talking about them here for you as we go and supporting those along the way. So but yes, we are in September. We've made it, guys. The whole rest of the world's catching up with us in our love of all things spooky and scary. We like we say, and I think most of you will agree, Spooktober is a year-round event for us. But it's nice when the rest of the world joins in and it's fun and you can see it everywhere you go. It always makes me happy. So we are here. Enjoy this time of the year and this season. Get out there, like we always say, support your local haunts, haunted houses, ghosts. Tours, haunted cord mazes, trails, whatever people are doing to have fun with this. Get out there and support them. These people are those are the true passionate people. No knock against the bigger productions. A lot of love for them, but your local guys, those are the people that are doing it for the love. So get out there and support them and make sure their efforts are shown appreciation. And share pictures. I love seeing pictures. So tag us in those. I love seeing stuff about the local area haunts and things and all the cool stuff people are doing out there. So all right then. Until next episode, when we are reviewing Parasomnia on Shudder, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, have fun, and have many pleasant nightmares.